For BBS Radio, this is Health Frontiers with Lexi Ross. Tonight, we're going to be talking to Dave Auten, who's a chiropractor who does a very interesting subtle energy method called Neural Integration System. Very fascinating. The bones don't move in the body, but the body gets adjusted. Good evening, Dave.
Good evening, Lexi.
It's great to have you on the show. I want to get you to talk about this neural integration system. And actually, you were a chiropractor before you started, a regular chiropractor before you started getting into this, were you not?
Well, that's correct.
Well, how did you get introduced to the method, and why, how did the method come into being, and why were you so attracted to it?
Well, I got interested in almost as a fluke. A friend of mine was taking a seminar and wanted me to come along, and I said, well, why not? And as I did, I became fascinated by the philosophy behind this system. It was developed by a New Zealand osteopath over the last 15 years who's been researching it. And it has to do with the brain's role in regulating health in the body. And that was an area that, as a chiropractor, I was intimately interested in, but was occasionally frustrated by this sort of broad spectrum of results that most chiropractors would get. That being that when we treated a case, we do the same kind of analysis, and we get a wide variety of results, either a great result, a so-so result, very rarely a bad result, but there's no explaining the difference of result when we are doing the same analysis.
So there was no consistency, in other words.
That's right. Quite frankly, if someone asked me what could I expect from a previous treatment, the answer would be one of three things. You're going to get better, get worse, or stay the same. Now, where does that really leave us? You know, in an area of unknowing, and what it dawned on me is that we, in effect, were treating conditions and symptoms. Even though we had our own little protocol, we are still dealing in this sort of really hazy, undefined area called the healing response. So Dr. Phillips decided that he'd investigate the role of the brain in this healing response, and he concluded that it had the primary role, and that if that could be accessed for its proper function relative to the body, you could develop a system of treating what that really dealt with cause and not symptom.
How did he go about doing that?
Well, he initially was interested in the neurophysiology of the brain, and then he developed the system on top of that. So what he did is he worked from the sensory end of things, meaning information coming in, how was information being processed by the brain before a decision was made what to do with that information. Now, this is happening trillions of times a second in our body. And the brain sits atop all these chemical reactions and bodily functions. So was there an alteration that occurred in this processing that allowed a dysfunction to develop in the body outside of the brain's own awareness of it? So basically, it was sort of almost like a computer developing a default program.
Well, you said something at one point about the thing that awakened him to the sensitivity of the brain was a little bug or an ant crawling on his forehead or something?
Yeah, he claimed that he was lying on a beach, and he was on vacation, and he was lying on a beach with his eyes closed, and an ant was crawling on his forehead. And it struck him as really amazing that he knew exactly where that ant was without opening his eyes or feeling for the ant. His awareness was so sharpened to where that ant was, he decided to investigate that whole area of things, like why are we so sensitive to information that we tend to make bad decisions of that information.
Well, how did he identify, obviously he went into some very finite mechanisms of the brain, you know, the sensory mechanisms. How was he able to, you know, make a map, so to speak, of these mechanisms?
Well, basically, this is in his research, which is, quite frankly, proprietary.
Okay.
And he developed a system of contacts that would represent certain functional areas in the body. And he would determine how the brain was operating in the area of this function. And he developed a testing system to evaluate that.
So when you say he used a testing system, was it typical applied kinesiology? Or was it a little departure from that?
It's a departure from applied kinesiology as most people might understand it. The strong muscle going weak, the muscle test is used as the indicator. But actually what's being evaluated is not a segment of the spine or a specific organ or gland. What's being evaluated is a functional pathway coming out of the brain. So that's where it would take its departure.
Well, how would this adjustment, so to speak, differ from the usual chiropractic adjustment? How might it, you know, what might people expect?
Well, the first thing is there's no pushing, shoving, popping, releasing of bones. So there's virtually no force to that.
Okay.
And that's so it's a completely non-force adjustment. And basically the evaluation of what needs to be adjusted is done by the patient's brain, not by the chiropractor, which makes it infinitely more appropriate, more specific, and the brain actually makes the correction.
What does that look like on the body when you do an adjustment?
Basically, in the category of a spinal category, you would touch segments of the spine to see if the strong muscle went weak, and then it's just a matter of waking the brain up that this, you know, area of the spine is not in optimal function. The brain saying, "Thanks, I wasn't aware of this. I will now take corrective action," and that may probably involve just sort of moving the joint back into place.
You mean the joint moves back in its place by itself?
The brain will move it.
Oh, the brain will move it.
By instructing the muscles that hold the joint in place to move and reposition the joint.
So what kinds of things in this form of chiropractic can you cure or help or remedy, however you want to describe that?
Well, the neurological integration system has 30 tests to it, so we're really evaluating a lot of categories of function and health in the body. It goes way beyond just the spinal segment.
Well,
now, obviously, we don't claim to cure anything, but in terms of putting the brain in charge of function in the body, we can help in a variety of areas. The glands, we evaluate for fungal and viral infections, bacterial infections, once again, the spine. There's ligaments, joints, hormones, things like that.
So, say a woman came in with migraine headaches, for instance, which is a common ailment. How would that be processed?
Well, the same way if she came in with low back pain. Basically,
okay.
You run the system and say, what is the issue? Because if I was just to say, well, listen, Lexi, you came in today with a migraine, and therefore I conclude that it's in one of these categories of dysfunction. I'm putting myself in charge of you, which is not the approach. The approach is to investigate what issue do you have in your body that is resulting in the migraine.
I see.
And that could be a lot different than what we think it is. So we run the system, the same system, on everybody.
Well, I mean, sometimes, like, for instance, the cause of headaches could be sugar, too much sugar in the diet, allergies, you know, either environmental allergies or something, food allergies. So, in other words, the body would give you a very specific indication of the cause of that headache?
Well, the functional cause of it, yeah. Now, why is there sugar causing? Is it too much sugar, too little? You know, do we have a fungal viral infection, for instance, in the pituitary that can cause a swelling that can trigger the migraine? Is it a simple pinched nerve at C1, which a lot of chiropractors, you know, may think? Is it, like you say, an allergy? So where is the allergy coming from? Is that a problem with the thymus gland? A lot of allergies are caused by incomplete digestion of foods. And it's not the specific food, it's the digestion of them, the incomplete digestion that causes the reaction. And that can be determined. Where is this starting from?
So this method actually specifically identifies the source of the problem, right?
Right, within the system that he has designed.
Okay.
Now, I'm not going to claim it knows everything about everything.
Right. Well, you made a comment about a dysfunction or a trauma, to the hypothalamus. I mean, that was very fascinating to me. Would you like to elaborate on that for me?
I'm not quite sure how you would like me to do that, meaning how it relates to function in the body?
Yeah, how would that, what kind of a, say, well, first of all, how would a hypothalamus get a shock or a trauma? What would cause that? That's number one. And number two, how would that manifest in the body?
Well,
I mean, that's a very, but let me just say this. I mean, that's a very unusual diagnosis. But you made that, I observed that you made that diagnosis. And I've never heard of another chiropractor coming up with that kind of very subtle energy-specific diagnosis. So I'm fascinated to know, you know, what would cause that and how it would affect the body.
Well, the cause of it would be the cause of a problem anywhere in that sense that it's an exceeding of the body's tolerances. Now, that can be a physical shock, a chemical, a mental, emotional shock, anything that exceeds the tolerances. And then, let's say, the hypothalamus is the recipient, and that's the gland that suffers, the organ that suffers. Now, there's a system in NIS, which is how I'm going to refer to the system, that accesses the hypothalamus to see whether or not it's in congruence with the brain, meaning does the brain know everything that's going on with the hypothalamus? And so that's done by a specific check.
I see.
So I didn't conclude anything by what was told me or what I thought or what I knew. Basically, I let the patient's brain tell me what the issue was.
Right. But that, I guess the point I'm making is that it's such a subtle energy and very specific diagnosis. What are some of the other things that this particular system would allow you to see that perhaps ordinary chiropractic would overlook? You know, maybe you could give us some examples of that. Because the system seems so finite, it's incredible. I mean, I'm very impressed using the word finite, diagnosis. I mean, it seems to go on to a deeper dimension or a deeper level, as near as I can tell.
Well, I'm thinking how I should respond to your question. Assessing the function of the organs and glands, for instance, there's 17 that are evaluated in this system.
Uh-huh.
Now, and that actually evaluates them above and beyond or outside of, let's say, a blood level test. All right, that's accessed. The presence or absence of a fungal infection in any organ or gland. The presence or absence of a viral infection. Now, these are infections that are outside the control of the brain, so they are not being dealt with. You can have a viral infection, have the brain totally on the case, and your immune system is taking care of it. You feel lousy for a few days, and you're fine. We're not talking about that. We're talking about an issue that has escaped the awareness of the brain, because the brain's ability has been affected through a stress overload. And that's why it's not responding to conditions in the body, and that's why people have ongoing issues with their health.
Okay.
And once these categories are assessed and dealt with, the brain gets back on the job and takes corrective action. In the case of a virus, directing the immune system to the location of the virus so it can be dealt with, meaning killed.
So you can actually send the body a message that will deter the virus?
Well, no, what we do is put the brain in awareness of the virus in the body that it previously was not aware of.
Okay.
And so it'll sit there and say, thank you for pointing this out. I was previously unaware of it. Now I am.
So then what happens next?
Well, the brain will direct the immune system to go kill the virus.
I see.
Yeah, so it's really an awareness thing. It's presuming that the brain has a template of everything in the body. And when it loses full awareness and communication in the body, that's when things start going wrong. So if the brain is put back in awareness and in full communication in these functional pathways in the body, it will take all necessary action to make things right, meaning homeostasis.
Huh. Can you talk about how different what you do, I mean, in the way that you touch the body or whatever, is from just regular chiropractic?
Okay, sure. Most of the testing is done with the patient lying on their stomach or prone, as we say. And most of the contacts are very light contacts along the spine, some along the head. There's a little bit of patient involvement in placing of their hands or whatever. And then the muscle is tested, usually a hamstring, for strength or weakness. So there's no invasive procedures or diagnostics done in that respect. We get all our answers from those placements.
So tell us, you know, what different kinds, say a person that has a broken bone, okay, what would you do with a person with a broken bone or, say, a twisted ankle?
Well, broken bone, I'd send them to get a cast put on it.
Yeah, well,
quite frankly, because no, I was just kidding around, but quite frankly, we don't have a category for that.
Okay. Well, just say twisted, you know, a twisted spine or, you know, somebody who is, say, in a lot of pain. Would the adjustment that you give him alleviate his pain?
In most cases, yes. Now, I say in most cases because it depends on, you know, what exactly is triggering the pain. And also, is that the only issue? So, for instance, this is what I mean. A lot of organs, glands, in fact, all of them, have muscles associated with them.
Uh-huh.
And so let's say you have an organ dysfunction or a pathology in the organ, the associated muscles are going to suffer, they're going to weaken. That will cause a distortion in the spine. That'll allow twisting that might put pressure on the spinal nerves, which can trigger muscle spasm and pain. Now, if you go ahead and push that spine back into its previous location, you temporarily take care of that pinching on the nerve, but you have never addressed the organ problem.
I see.
Now, if there is no organ problem and that spine is twisted, usually what will happen is you'll get the indication organs are fine, but we have an alteration in the spinal segment, so let's get the brain to pull this back into place, depressurize the nerve, and restore normal mobility to this joint, which will be done. That will probably give a lot of pain relief.
Well, you explained that your version or your method of chiropractic works so successfully that people don't have to come back as many times. You get results pretty quickly, don't you?
Oh, that's been the case. I've been doing this for about 4 years now, Lexi. And what I've found is that, in particular, if you're dealing just with a structural issue and nothing else,
Yes. It's
really just a couple of sessions and things come right. So, and you just don't need the constant checkup, adjustment, correction. Usually the correction's done in one or two visits, quite frankly. Now, if you have a spinal problem that has other involvements, like I was talking about, like an organic involvement,
Right. That
has to be dealt with first, and that's going to take a little bit longer for that to be dealt with. And then you're going to have the spinal problem while the organ is healing. Then the spine will respond. So it waits in line, so to speak. There's a hierarchy involved.
So if you get a diagnosis that there's some kind of organ problem, like a heart or liver or a kidney dysfunction,
uh-huh,
or something like that, then do you put your patient or your client on a diet to be aware of whatever or some kind of, how does that happen?
There are no specific aftercare necessities with this system. There are no at-home exercises or no specific nutritional recommendations other than one or two when we deal with the fungus and virus. However, that's strongly encouraged. What I like about this system is that it's very friendly with everything else. It's not my way or the highway, or you must do this and not do that. This will work in conjunction with all other treatment systems. So, for instance, if somebody wanted to do nutrition and nutritional approach, this would be very, you know, friendly towards it. In fact, what you would find is that when the brain gets in control of the body again, I will argue you can truly assess nutritional need then. then the nutrition changes from being a therapeutic crutch into being a supportive, hygienic kind of role, which means you're going to get the full benefit from it. It's going to be absorbed and utilized as it was meant to be.
Well, when you first went through the training, Dave, what were the things that really grabbed your attention and made you want to take on this method as opposed to what you've been doing previously? I mean, what were the points that were just that just grabbed you and made you want to learn this method?
Well, the main thing, without this sounds a little bit funny, but it was my ignorance of myself. And what I mean by that is, as I took the seminar, we would learn each test, and then we would break up to test each other in practice. So we learned it. And as each test was discussed, I would, in my mind, sit there and say, well, I'll have this or I won't have that, because, of course, I thought I knew best about what was going on with me. Now, I wasn't 100% wrong, but I was close to it. I really didn't have that much of a clue, and this system revealed, and I tell you what, my strong muscle went weak. There was no hedging about it. And I was just really surprised by how little I really knew about myself, and how much better I felt after I got the work done on myself. It was a terrific feeling. And we look for three things initially after a session. It's pretty much sleeping better, less pain, and more energy. And when you start getting that happening for you, you're on the right path, and you're going to heal up. So this is a pretty straightforward system, deals with a lot of issues, but it does it in a sensible, logical, progressive fashion. There's a sequence to the test that's followed. And so it's pretty comprehensive, and then we pretty much leave you alone. Because when you're right, you're right. The only thing that will shock you out of a correction was really, like a trauma. I mean, a bad trauma, an electrical shock, an extremely bad viral infection. Generally speaking, you're going to hold these corrections. And then it's up to you to make the choices you want to make in your life about what you want to put in your body, how do you want to exercise, not exercise. Well, that's fine and dandy, but it's up to you. And you're going to benefit from your own choices. Most people I see are frustrated by the lack of results because they're doing good things and not getting any benefit. They're stuck someplace and they don't know why. And this is not their fault. None of this is their doing. They just blew some circuits that just need to be switched back on.
How old is this method? How many years has this gentleman been in New Zealand? When did he come upon this method?
Well, he said he's been researching it for about 15 years, and he's been teaching it, not the whole time, but I think from the 90s he's been teaching it. And like I said, I came upon it 4 years ago.
And how many people, say, in the country are practicing this? And it used to be referred to as Neuralink, right?
That's correct.
And when did they change the name?
I think they changed the name last year, because what happened is that Neuralink was used by some other systems that had nothing to do with this. It wasn't even, it was just Neuralink was being used by other treatment modalities that had nothing
company.
To do with this.
I think there's a toy company called Neuralink.
Yes, and that's not the only one. So I think that there is just a little bit of confusion when people try to find them.
Uh-huh.
And so I think they really, and I don't know this, but this is just my surmise.
Is this a method that's practiced all around the world?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's taught. He teaches it in Australia and Germany, the United Kingdom, obviously New Zealand, the U.S., I'm trying to think of where else. So it's worldwide. And in the U.S., there's probably, I don't know, I'm just judging by what I see at the seminars, there's probably about maybe 100, 150 nationally who come to the, to the advanced seminars every year. I'm thinking probably total. And that's not a lot.
No, that's a very small number.
That's not a lot. And, of course, there's more worldwide.
So let me review. When a patient comes in and they're laid out, they're lying on the table, and you literally start asking the body questions through applied kinesiology. So that's muscle testing.
Right.
So, and then the body, the brain starts giving you answers. Well, how do you identify those very finite answers that you're getting? You know what I mean? There's got to be some symbol that's coming through on your system that perhaps another kind of chiropractic method is not identified.
Well, that's right, because they don't go through the brain. Most chiropractic methods will go to the spine and back out again.
I see.
And everybody, I think, has always presumed that the brain is some kind of static, monolithic organ, and that everything happens around the periphery of it, meaning out in the body. And so the nerve pinches at the spine or in the wrist or whatever, instead of saying, well, listen, you know, it might not be a pinched nerve, it might be pain, you know, because of a strained ligament, and the brain doesn't know about this, so why don't you ask it, because there's a test for that, and say, okay, if the brain has put on this issue, will the pain go away? And lots of times it will. So, for instance, you know, cases like a carpal tunnel that everybody says, well, we need to operate on it. Why? You know, we can investigate in two or three areas where the pressure is coming from in that wrist joint, and lots of times just take it away in one visit. That's happened to me.
Really?
Yeah.
That's pretty amazing.
No, listen, I don't want to make promises I can't keep. I'm telling you, this has actually happened, and I've been really amazed by it because it keeps surprising me and impressing me and, quite frankly, delighting me to see what happens.
Well, like, for instance, in that carpal tunnel syndrome, what messages were you getting that let you know how to clear it up?
Well, it's the categories that you're asking the questions of. So, for instance, you're asking the same questions of everybody, but everybody's giving you different answers. And so, you know, you check the spine. Is it coming from the spine? Is it coming from an entrapped nerve up along the shoulder, along the ridge of the shoulder? Is it coming from a pressure problem or a weakness of the retinaculum, which is a bundling of fascia around the wrist? Is it coming from the jammed wrist bones themselves? Is it coming from any arterial or venous problem down there? Is it coming from...
Wait a minute, back up. What's a venous problem?
Veins.
Oh, vagus.
No, veins.
Oh, venous. Vein problem. Okay, excuse me.
Yeah, so, you know, there's circulation issues you can check, but usually it's in the nerve end of things or just in the mechanical, you know, position of the joint itself. And then you have the ligament and tendon categories. You say, how is everything doing here? Is there something that is really not performing properly, optimally? And then you make the correction. And
well,
then,
for instance, in the two or three cases of carpal tunnel that you diagnosed, what were the difference and what was causing them? I'm curious.
Actually, they're pretty close to the same thing. There's just a jammed joint. There's two rows of carpal bones. There are wrist bones. And it was just a jamming. They were just jammed, so they just need to be mobilized. And then one was like a tendon to the thumb, and the other one was a ligament.
And so you just did the adjustments that loosened up or sent the message from the brain, allowed the brain to send the message to the hand, and it went away.
That's exactly right. Once again, I did the correction that the patient's brain said they're in, you know, and confusion about.
Uh-huh.
And all we did is stimulate the brain to come back online in that category, in that need. And then the brain pretty much said, okay, thank you. I have it. I'll take it from here. That's almost an immediate change.
That is amazing. I mean, really amazing. Give us some other examples of the things that you might have cured in the past. A remedied. I don't know if you like using the word cure, but...
No, I don't, because I'm really not involved in it.
Yeah. Well, you are. I mean, you're the facilitator that's talking to the brain.
But what we're doing is just allowing the patient to go back to their original design under their full control, like they were meant to be, and then they take all the necessary steps. And they're doing this, you know, subconsciously.
Right.
And it's happening very, very quickly.
Yeah, but give us some, I think the listening audience might like to know some of the other, you know, problems like a carpal tunnel syndrome or something that, you know, that could often be interpreted as chronic that you were able to help within, you know, a couple sessions.
Well, allergies, we touched on that before. Lots of allergies really are just, I find more and more, and Dr. Phillips is very big on this, and I believe he's right. And he said a lot of allergic reactions are the incomplete digestion of food. And that undigested food, as it passes through the digestive system, is interpreted as an invader, and it creates an allergic response when you correct the digestive issues. Now you might say, what are those? Well, we have a check for proper production of hydrochloric acid. All right, is that at proper levels? Most people who think that they have reflux or indigestion or whatever actually have too little acid, not too much. So by taking all the Tums and this and that, they're really not taking care of the problem. And so once that production is restored, you get more complete digestion in that phase of digestion, so that the food passes along in its proper state to the next phase. We also evaluate the second phase of digestion in the small intestine to see if that's, you know, working properly. We check for pancreatic enzymes. Are they proper? Okay, so that we come in from a lot of different areas, but once again, everybody gets the same test to see how everything's working. So it's a real a global systems checkup that they get and correction. And I like that about it because it's a nice start-to-finish system.
Well, what if somebody comes in and they've been having some heart pains? And, you know, I don't even know if a client would come in with heart pains, but say while he's sitting in your office, he's saying, you know, I've been having a little heaviness around my heart or something. Would you advise them to go for a heart test? I mean, what would you be able to discern from the problem that man is having around his heart?
Just what they showed in the test. Once again, my prejudgment, my opinion would mean nothing.
Right.
It's what would show up, and then of course, obviously, they would need to go get evaluated.
Okay, so you would be able to identify, though, whether it was a vascular problem, whether, you know, I'm not a physician, so
no, no, you're hitting it. Yes, we would be able to identify what the issue was.
And what might some of those issues be?
Well, you can have a vascular issue. We have a test to see whether or not the arteries and veins are in their normal diameter.
Okay.
And the positive test being that somewhere there's an artery, usually an artery that's not at its proper opening. Now, why is that? We can instruct the brain about that problem, but we don't know exactly what stage that's in.
Uh-huh.
So, for instance, is that artery being closed down like in a neurovascular sense, in which case NIS will address that, or is it plaque buildup? So we can do the correction, help the patient, but have we really, are we really on top of that? Quite frankly, I don't think so. I think that they need to go get evaluated by a cardiologist.
Uh-huh.
Okay? You know, obviously, because, you know, what we do is we know it's there, but we don't know what stage it is. Are they ready to go over the cliff?
Right.
And go into a heart attack?
Well,
there's no way I can tell that.
Yeah, I had a fascinating thing happen to me a few years ago. I was stressed out all day one day, and running around Atlanta trying to accomplish something that wasn't getting done. And I ate junk food all day, ate a lot of sugar. And I went to my friend who was a chiropractor, who was a very good diagnostician at the time. And I started to have pains in my heart. And so I called him up and I said, should I come in and get some chelation or something? I'm having pains in my heart. So he said, get over here and let me check you out. So I went over to his office. And he checks me all out, and he says, your heart's perfectly fine, but you're having a kidney spasm. And he explained that there was a meridian that comes from the kidney that goes around the left shoulder and down the left arm. And it occurred to me how many people, you know, at Christmas time are eating really rich foods. And so many heart attacks or heart problems crop up at Christmas time or, you know, during the holidays when people are really indulging. And how many of those heart attacks or heart problems are misinterpreted as heart disease when, in fact, they're simply kidney spasms? I thought that was just a very interesting insight into how things can often be misinterpreted.
Well, I agree. I agree in that statement about how things can be misinterpreted. Because really, I mean, people come in and they say, well, I have this condition, and I almost want to say, who says?
Yeah.
Because lots of times they've been diagnosed that, maybe properly, maybe not, by a medical doctor who knows what he's doing, maybe not. Or they've taken upon themselves to figure themselves out. Sometimes they're right. More often they're not. Now, I just go back to my personal experience of thinking I knew about myself when, in fact, I didn't. That was a very humbling moment, but it was all actually a very invigorating moment because I sat there and I said, oh, this system can tell me everything. I could just, you know, drive myself crazy trying to figure out by studying a million books. My brain knows it all. It's just never been asked.
That's amazing.
Okay, so that's what Dr. Phillips, I believe he's a genius because he took an incredibly complex organ that makes, you know, trillions of computations by the second and simplified the evaluation of it. Now, I don't know how he did that, Lexi. I'll be honest with you. I don't know how he developed the test that he did. All I know is that he researched it, and he does lab work on patients, and he doesn't really bring us a test unless he's really sure that that's what it represents. And he's developed the sequence and the protocol. It's just really something. And I will share this with you. When I took the seminar, I said, well, this is really great. There's like five or six great things in here that as a chiropractor could really help me. There is there's discs and the spinal mobility and ligaments and pinched nerve. And I said, oh, all these things. And so I said, I'll use these in my regular work to help my regular chiropractic work. And they did. The actual adjusting I did was much, much enhanced by this system. What I had not, or what I had forgotten, is what he had said. And he said, listen, if you take my system, do it as I taught it, and do it in order, you will be far more satisfied with the results. So I said, well, why don't I? And that's what I started doing, and wow, that's when things really started to go well.
So in other words, he actually designed a sequence.
Yes.
That allows the brain to reveal information. So
that's
you, when you're testing somebody that's sitting on the table, you go through a very specific sequence so that you can get the right answers.
That's exactly it.
Okay. That's really fascinating.
That's exactly it. And quite frankly, I found that the results are better when you do it like he says, as opposed to saying, so for instance, okay, I'll just do the kidney check on you because of the problem you came in with and so on and so forth, or I just check for this or check for that. It just doesn't work as well. It's just not it's not a recipe or have it your way kind of system. It's complete unto itself, but it has to be followed beginning to end for it to really, as you said so beautifully, have the brain reveal its area of dysfunction.
It's just hard to comprehend that he was able to discern such a magnificent system. I mean, did he do it electronically? Did he do it just by testing the body and getting answers? I mean, it seems like he would have had to do 50 or 100 years of research to come up with this system.
I wonder about it myself. I wish I could help you with that because I don't know. At one seminar, somebody asked him, and he just sort of looked at him like, all the time and energy I put into this, and I'm going to tell you how I did it? And it was actually sort of funny. But, and that's why I say that's proprietary, because I've wondered the same thing. I said, how did he decide that this test would follow this one, and so on and so forth?
Yeah, the order, the logical, the order. Maybe he followed the logical order of the way the body develops in the womb or something. I don't know. It's really fascinating. But I'd love for you to give us a couple more examples, like the carpal tunnel syndrome, because that's just amazing. I mean, there's so many people that been years suffering from these little chronic problems, and you're telling me you can clean them up in two or three visits.
Well, that's big talk, and
Well, you obviously did that.
We did, but I'll be honest with you, that's not a big problem. That's just a mechanical jamming kind of problem.
Well,
in
it's
most
a big
cases.
Problem for a person that goes to a regular physician that keeps them on pain pills for 10 years.
Well, that's a good point. Maybe I shouldn't assume that because it's easy to fix it, it's easy to live with, and that's a good point. Okay, I've had a couple of cases, just from my personal experience,
yeah,
probably three cases of scheduled disc surgery that never got performed.
Really?
Yeah, and what we were able to do is take people that literally had herniated discs to the point where they were scheduled for surgery, came in to me as a last resort, and the NIS system found the issue, we relieved the pressure, they were able to restore their backs, you know, to normal function, and they didn't need to go in for the surgery, and they haven't looked back.
That is amazing.
Yeah, low back, and one neck and low back, one low back and one neck.
What about something like sciatica?
Well, that's got a lot of different possibilities to it, but it's really, it, once again, you know, your magic word, the brain will reveal the issue.
Well, what are some of the issues, say, that would cause sciatica? Because I had a friend who had sciatica all his life, and I always felt like it was stress-related, you know. And I know that there's got to be some other causes besides stress for sciatica, and I'm just curious, what are some of the determining factors in your system for the problem with sciatica?
Well, we're going to touch on a bunch of them while we go through the system. In organs and glands, we're going to take a look at kidneys and large intestine to see whether or not they're doing what they're supposed to be doing, because they have associated muscles that are in the lower extremities. And that the weaknesses there could be causing the pressure on the sciatic nerve. We move on from there to say, do we have a fungal situation in the dura of the spinal cord itself, which is a fascinating test. I'd never, ever come across that anywhere before this system, there's a test to determine whether or not you have a low-grade fungal infection of the meninges of the spinal cord, which interferes with nerve transmission and can just suck the life out of you. People have low energy, all kinds of pain, weaknesses, and that's something, if you put them on that, they will love you after about 3 weeks.
Well, what would cause a low-grade fungal infection?
Well, a compromised immune system, once again, going to an opportunistic area. It's the brain being in darkness where it should be in light.
Wow, that's amazing.
And once again, once that's revealed and the brain is put on it, it will go kill it.
Well, I have to give an example of and verifying what you're saying here. I decided I was going to go on raw foods. And I'd been eating like watermelon and all these raw foods. This was about 4 or 5 years ago. And I got a pain in my back. And I don't usually get pains in my back. That's not a problem thank goodness, that's not a usual problem for me. So I went to this lovely chiropractor where I was living in North Carolina, and she checked me out through applied kinesiology, and she said, "What have you been eating?" And I said, "Well, I've been eating fruit. I've been eating raw foods and fruit." And she said, "Well, you've got a stopped-up ileocecal valve, and it's causing pain in your back." And I said, "You're kidding." She said, "You need to stop eating raw foods. Your body can't handle that. You've got to go back to eating cooked foods." So I went back to eating the cooked foods. And then 2 or 3 days went by, and I thought, oh, surely to God, this can't be accurate. And I went back to eat the raw foods and the fruits again, and the pain came back. And I thought, isn't that interesting? And people very seldom relate their back problems to a digestive problem.
Correct.
You know, it's just so fascinating how it all, you know, how all the systems relate.
Well, I'll top that one.
Okay.
One of the associated muscles, actually a ligament associated with the anterior pituitary, which is up in the brain, are the iliolumbar ligaments that hold the hips to the lower spine. If they are weak, you will have a chronically weak low back and all kinds of low back issues that will not resolve, and all you have to do is do an anterior pituitary correction, and the back strengthens almost immediately.
Wow. That's the
that just speaks
gland.
To your point of you don't know where it's coming from. And the thing I like about this system is that it does the forensics for you. It goes and hunts it out. once again, that magic word you use, reveal.
Wow.
It's to get
this,
the brain to
it's
reveal.
It's really impressive work. I mean, it seems like it's so simple, really.
Oh, it is. It's very simple with complex results. And we leave all the complexity up to the individual's brain because it knows best. And it can make all the assessments and all the evaluations and all the decisions much better than we can sitting from the outside looking in. We're not even in the same league. And what's so amazing is that he figured out a way to tap into this in a simple fashion and take us out of the diagnostic mix. Or it doesn't matter what we think or what our opinion is or what let's say you've somehow told me something that, caught my fancy and it took me down some diagnostic trail because I thought it was really sort of clever or whatever. I mean, who knows if I'm right?
That's true.
So you know what we do? We treat you and we wait and see. And then you either, once again, you get one of those magic, better, worse, or stay the same. It's a shotgun approach when I'm in the equation. In NIS, I am not in the equation. It's all about you.
You know, when you think about doctors, physicians, and the word practice, they're practicing medicine. What a remarkable and marvelous tool this would be to a regular allopathic doctor if he could go through and check all these systems without his opinion playing a role. How much more accuracy there could be, because it seems like this method certainly would translate over to allopathic medicine.
Oh yeah, and well, they have MDs study this. I don't know how many. Obviously, chiropractors, osteopaths, and not to get too far off the beaten path, but vets study it. And I had a wonderful story about a Canadian vet who is actually nationally famous, and she's a wonderful woman, and people fly their dogs into her. She's in Saskatoon up in Canada. And she told me a story about she uses a system along with her regular vet stuff on animals. And she told me that she took an Australian blue herder, whatever. It's like a herding dog, like
uh-huh.
a border collie.
Yeah.
And he wouldn't even obey the command to sit down. And the owner said, listen, this dog just won't get it. Well, she did this work on that dog, and in 3 months he won the national championship in herding.
You're kidding.
No, it's a true story. She also took a dog who had bone cancer on the x-ray, bone cancer, treated him using this system along with her regular vet stuff, and I don't know what, it was a matter of a couple of months, she couldn't find any cancer. So she sent the dog back to the same x-ray place that did the original, because she said, I don't want any accusations that I was playing with the x-rays or anything. They x-rayed the dog's leg, no sign of cancer.
That is truly amazing.
And so she's really, really going gangbusters up there. Well, these are great stories because it just goes to show you that it's, it is talking about some universal principles. And it's, we do have the ability to manage our own health. And we are given that. And somehow, without it, once again, not our fault, we just got knocked out of whack. And this system is so great in just finding where did that happen. Can we come back online so we can finally get down to the business of fixing ourselves? And that's where I find the real beauty of this. It's simple. It doesn't take long. It doesn't take a long time. Healing time is keep in mind, that has to do with cell replacement. When people say, how long before I feel better? I said, well, geez, I'm not really in charge of that. I don't know exactly what needs to be done. But right now, you do, the patient, because your lights are turned on. And the corrective action is being taken. And keep in mind, blood cells were brand new in 30 days. We're completely 98% brand new, cellular replacement in 2 years. So I tell people, be patient, but take little benchmark checks out of yourself in 3 months, and 6 months, and 9 months. And overall, just say, hey, how am I doing? Do I still have the same stuff that was bugging me, or am I just pretty much doing good? And most people will cycle themselves back into health if they're patient with that and take care of themselves. I mean, it doesn't let them off the hook. This is not a magic bullet, and it doesn't sort of take the responsibility away from people. They have to do good things for themselves. And but now those good things will bear fruit and pay benefits. Whereas in the past they may have just hit a wall and said, why does it work for Janie but it doesn't work for me?
Well, I have to ask the question. Do you use the same protocol on a dog that you would on a person?
No, because they bite. No, I'm just kidding. No, I don't know the full dog protocol. I've done dogs and cats. I haven't done any horses. But you can definitely do the spine on dogs. And what you do it through the owner. So you muscle test the owner, have the owner hold the dog.
And then
you can find the dog. You scan the dog, and then I usually test the owner's arm. We'll go weak where the dog's problem is, and then you fix the dog and then recheck, and they usually do good because I fixed seizures in a dog and hips and shoulder problems and stuff like that. It's not really not that hard. All you have to do is get the trust of the animal.
That is just, this is blowing me away.
I can't test them for everything though because they just they don't know how to cooperate.
Yeah.
And also I don't know how.
Yeah.
I'm sure the vet up in Canada would know much better than me. She does horses and everything.
So in other words, this gentleman that invented this method, he has a specific method for dogs as well.
I don't think he has a separate system. I think you have to do what you can do. But see, for instance, in organs and glands, they're along the chest of a dog. I do know that, but I don't know the exact location, right at the base of their throat. So, I mean, if you probe along there with a dog that doesn't know what you're doing, they don't like it. And you don't have to touch hard. You just are just touching them there, but they don't know what you have in mind.
Right.
And some dogs are cool and some dogs aren't. But I really don't know where those points are. I just know that they're along there. So there is stuff you can do, you know, more than I do, you know, to animals. Once again, I can do their structure.
Uh-huh.
That's no problem. But, you know, you spoke about, you know, other cases and whatever. I've had asthmas, allergies. What are we talking about? Fibromyalgia. I was almost going to say chronic fatigue, but they're almost in the same, you know, grouping.
Very
problem.
Similar. Yeah.
Yeah, and those are they really reveal some really interesting issues.
Like for instance.
Well, asthma in some cases is just a problem right up at the upper neck. It's almost a chiropractic approach of nerve pressure. I've had that happen one visit, fix a child of asthma, a 10-year-old who never needed another, just didn't need another visit there. And he is the kind that if you got in a room with an open fire, he has to go to the emergency room.
Is that right?
That's how fast the response, or how great the response can be.
Wow.
And then I think I had a 2-year-old with, or a 1-year-old, who was going to have tubes put in her ears. And that was just a little bit of pressure. Occiput C1 revealed itself, fix it. She went to the doctor 10 days later, and he said, no need for the tubes. The ears are wide open.
Wow.
So it's just stuff like that. It just, you know, it's great, but it really catches my attention. And then another 5-year-old is having an asthma attack. Here's the interesting thing. Wasn't a nerve pressure problem. It was a hormonal, a glandular problem. And what happened is that the adrenal glands weren't talking with the lungs. Now, how could that possibly cause asthma? Because one of the adrenal gland functions is the manufacture and release of epinephrine, which constricts bronchioles. And so is that it was sending, the adrenal glands were sending that to the lung inappropriately, and once they were just paired up, saying, well, you people, folks just talk to each other. And there's a test in this system to determine that, if the glands are working together as they're supposed to. And his lungs were open by the time he got in the car outside the office, because his mother came back in the office and told me.
That is remarkable.
So, I mean, I never would have put that together.
No,
seriously, I never in 100 years would have put that together. But this system, that's what it showed. So I did it, and boom, there it goes.
There
it just happened.
Well, we have run out of time, but I want to thank you. This has been one of the most fascinating conversations, and we've been talking to Dave Otten. And Dave, is there a contact number or a website that people could get in touch with you?
Well, I'm on the NIS website is Want me to give it to you?
Yeah.
It's a NeuralinkGlobal.com. That's one word, N-E-U-R-O-L-I-N-K, Global, which is G-L-O-B-A-L.com.
Okay.
All right. And I'm on there as a physician. They have a physician's listing, and it's A-U-T-E-N. I'm in Canton, Georgia.
Okay.
And you can call me at the office here anytime you'd like. Within the number is area code 770-720-8668.
Well, thank you so much for your time, and I am just blown away by your information, and I look forward to learning more. And this has been Lexi Ross with Health Frontiers. Say goodnight.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a Service to Others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.